You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield, Illinois. I am in the Capitol. I was present for today's State of the State address presented by Governor Rauner. And joining me on the line right now is Representative John Cabello, who represents the 68th District. Hello, Representative. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still away. What time did you get up? What time does a representative like you get up in the morning before the State of the State address?
Oh, I'll tell you, the excitement just got to me. I was up at 5:30 this morning.
What? Now, were you in town yesterday?
Didn't sleep.
Really?
It was a long day.
Yeah, it has been a very long day. And what were you anticipating? I'm guessing you guys kind of have, you have a lot of conversations about what you want to accomplish. Had you some idea of what the State of the State address was going to look like or sound like?
We had heard, and I was hoping that the governor would go unconventional, and that didn't happen. But I think it was a normal State of the State. I think I've heard two governors now give the State of the State, and they both kind of sounded the same, really.
That's what I was wondering. When you say unconventional, breaking loose a little bit from da-da-da-da, this and this, we're great at this, we need to be better at that. What would you say would have been something unconventional? Do you have an example?
Yes. If I was in the governor's shoes today, what I would have done is I would have came into the chamber, I would have said, folks, we all know the state that this state is in, since all of the decision makers are here, all the state senators, all the state reps, the two majority leaders and the two minority leaders, we don't need to talk about the state of the state. Let's get a budget deal done right here, right now. Lock the chamber doors. And we're not leaving it till we got it done.
I love that. I think that would be very dramatic, and that is unconventional. And what did you think the chances of that? Like between 0% and 5% chance of that happening. Where were you on the thinking of that? You're wagering.
Well, I had posted it on Facebook maybe an hour before the State of the State, so I didn't think that would happen at all. I guess maybe it was just wishful thinking and wanting to get a budget deal done.
I agree. And I do have the entire speech in front of me, and I, was going through, he did do, a little bit of this, a little bit. I hope no one heard me laugh that one of the accomplishments was that we began the process to sell the Thompson Center. I don't know how high you would list that on accomplishments considering, how much we have left to do ahead of us.
Right. Well, it's been very rough for everyone.
Yes.
On both sides of the aisle. It's never an easy thing. Everybody's still trying to figure each other out.
Yes, it's just, that's true.
Our most vulnerable are still not being taken care of, and those are the first people that we should be taking care of.
Well, and they seem to be that this population, and I have a young son who has significant disabilities. So it is what brought me down to Springfield last year, is knowing the struggles that families like mine face. And I was talking to one of your colleagues, Representative Harris, David Harris, just to kind of explaining my story. That, when a family loses hope, there is a danger, a physical danger, an emotional danger. And I think that we have so many families, not just with children with disabilities, but we have senior citizens, there are veterans who have lost services just as recently as Friday. Catholic Charities have announced they might follow the same direction. It was strange to me to hear the words that the services we provide are reactive, inefficient, and ineffective. That sort of fell on me a little bit hard, and that they're expensive. Taking care of our most vulnerable isn't profit-making. There's no profit to be made. And are there ways to save money? I'm sure. But I thank you for pointing out that we should have a commitment. And I didn't hear that at all in today's address. Did you?
No. Again, I think everybody is a little tired, a little unsure of how we're going to move forward. We don't need to be pointing the fingers at each other any longer. We don't need to be saying that it's Speaker Madigan's fault. We don't need to be saying that it's Governor Rauner's fault. We need to do our jobs. We need to sit down. We had the perfect opportunity today. Everybody was in, I think there's a few excused absences, but we had the perfect opportunity to do something right, to do something different, and maybe hear what everyone has to say right there in the open, instead of having leaders sitting behind closed doors and coming up with their own solutions. Everybody was at the table today. We just didn't seize that opportunity.
And that's what a lot of people point to, is that, you know, whether President Cullerton and Governor Rauner have come to an agreement in some way on one of the reforms, but Michael Madigan, the Speaker of the House, doesn't sit down anymore with them. We talked to Representative Kifowit last night, and she was saying that there was some work done in November where there were agreements for, like, the 911 agencies and different, you know, areas of the state that needed to be addressed. But that was pretty much the last time that everyone kind of were able to agree. Would that be accurate? Since November?
I believe so. I would hope that there was more, but I'm not always privy to what's going on. You know, it's just, we have timelines in place to try to keep us on track. Somewhere we've gone off the track, and we need to find a way of getting back on it so that you know, we don't have that much to go on the budget, because lots of it's taken care of through lawsuits and dissent decrees. So, you know, if we have all this done through lawsuits and dissent decrees, some people say it was up to 88% that was done without legislative action. Why do we need 118 state representatives making $70,000 a year?
Right, what you're saying is that the money is already going out the door. Most of the services are being paid for, regardless of the budget being in place or not.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we're talking about not pointing the finger, because I think that, and I do that. You know, it's easy to say, because this is the first time this has happened, to say, you know, well, Governor Rauner has come up with this reform agenda and has tied that, you know, the agreements, you know, with certain things like workman's comp and pension reform. You know, we can all point the finger, like you said, at each other, but at some point, something has to be done. I think a lot of people do want to know, why is it that, you know, having to come to an agreement on that agenda is so tied to the budget? Can you explain it to people who are still wondering about that?
I can maybe give them my view. Yes. I would never want to speak for the governor. I would never want to speak for anyone else.
Fair enough.
If there was no reforms right now, and mm-hmm. we didn't do any cuts, you know, I think we were on track of bringing in $32.5 billion in revenue, yet we're on track of spending close to $38 billion. Okay, so let's just say all we're going to do is raise taxes.
Right.
I think we would have to raise taxes almost to 7%. Just to take care of this fiscal year. Well, what about next year?
And to give people perspective, right, to give people a little idea, we're at 3.25 now. We had temporarily gone to 5%, but that was a temporary tax increase that went away last year, right?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, 7%, I think a lot of people would, you know, sort of pause at that, and whether or not that's a temporary fix. And as you just mentioned, what will happen in the coming years, and especially as costs continue to rise, whether for services, for transportation, you know, for our state workers, there's a lot at stake here. And, it's kind of strange. What is the sense you're getting from your constituents in your area?
The folks that I'm honored enough to represent keep telling me, do not raise my taxes.
Okay.
So they're taxed enough. Winnebago County has the second highest property taxes in the nation. So they're saying, we can't be taxed any longer. Guess what? If you keep taxing me more, I'm going to be one of those people that need those services. So
right.
If we're going to keep taxing, we're going to be adding more people to the roles of who need help because they now can't afford what they have. I mean, we already have senior citizens that are trying to make a decision. Do I pay my mortgage or do I pay for my medications? So we've got to find a balance. We've got to say, okay, look, maybe the governor will give, you know, all he needs is workman's comp reform, and we'll go with $3 billion in cuts. We'll go $3 billion in new revenue and call it the day. Can that happen? I don't know, because we don't have the people at the table, and we missed that opportunity today.
And you, right after the State of the State address, you adjourned. Is that correct? I think that you guys took the rest of the day off. I'm not saying you took the day off. You were given the rest of the day off.
Unless you were on higher education appropriations. Then that committee met at 3 p.m. I do not know what time they were done. But, yeah, I mean, it was we came in at 11:30, and you know what time we left.
I do.
Is that a full day's work? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
We could do much better. And when I say we, I mean everyone. I'm not saying, you know, pointing that fingers. You know, I'm not always right, and I make mistakes, and I understand that. I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to compromise, but is everyone? I'm not sure that we're at that place yet.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just a quick question, certainly this is nothing new coming from me, and I'm sure you've heard it before from a lot of people. But in terms of new revenue, basically that means more taxes. I don't think most reasonable people here in the state would be opposed to saying, you know, let's go ahead and bump it up to 5.5%, 6%, 6.5%. The problem is that the money in the state has been so mismanaged that when you start talking about tax increases, people immediately wonder, where is it going to go? Will it be spent properly? How would you be able to tell Joe taxpayer that you're going to do the right thing?
I'm not so sure that we could do that. Why are people so why are people not voting? Why are people not getting involved in politics anymore? It's because of the politicians. Nobody can trust what is said any longer. I mean, we need to build the trust back. This is supposed to be an honorable position, in my opinion, and honorable people don't lie. Honorable people tell the truth and say, look, maybe we need to put a sunset on it every year and say, look, here's how we're going to spend the money. If we don't spend it this way, you, in a year, have the opportunity of voting it back in or voting it back out.
Right.
This way it keeps us honest. This way it keeps our feet to the fire, and we can sit there and say, look, here we're trying to get the biggest bang for your buck, because guess what? You're funding all of this. It's your taxpayers' dollars. It's your hard-earned work. I mean, that's what's paying for this. And to see it blowing away in the wind is not what we should be doing with it.
Which again feeds that, you know, inaction. People just start giving up and get cynical. We're talking to Representative John Cabello from the 68th District. Do you mind hanging on for just a few more moments so we can talk to you about the plans moving forward?
I'll give you all the time in the world.
Oh, I appreciate that. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thanks for finding us Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield. I've come down here for the State of the State address presented by Governor Rauner. And on the line with us is Representative John Cabello, representing the 68th District. And you were, I don't want to call you teacher's pet, but you were in the speech today, Representative.
And then they used my real name. They didn't use any expletives.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that happen in the next few months. Tell us a little bit about reforms to our criminal justice system that you guys have planned.
Well, this is one great way of showing that we can work together. This is a bipartisan group, many different people involved, from the different community service groups to professionals that deal with psychological issues. It's a great group that came together that has had lots of discussion on, number one, where do we want to go with our criminal justice system?
Right.
There's many of us that believe that there could be lots of good reforms that actually help people instead of just waste money and or just use our prisons as a warehouse. Unfortunately, some people need to spend the rest of their lives in prison due to the types of crimes that they commit. But there's other folks that do deserve that second chance, and we need to find a way of making sure that once they come out of prison, that they can become a productive member of society. How do we do that? There's lots of different things that we need to do. We need to look at the criminal justice system in a different way. We need to look at it from an early childhood education standpoint to a addiction and recovery to a mental health. We've got to look at it in ways that we haven't looked at it before so that we can stop just wasting money and warehousing people until they're serve their time and come back out and reoffend.
And you are uniquely qualified to serve on this committee because you have served as a police officer for almost 20 years, right now on a leave of absence from the Rockford Police Department. So I'm assuming that you have had a lot of experience with offenders of all different, from all walks of life, all circumstances. And so your perspective is very important in this situation, I would imagine.
Well, again, you know, I'm not always right. I don't always have the answers to every single question. So that's why.
Well, that's disappointing, sir.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you how I think. I mean,
your honesty is going to start to be annoying. I'm just saying.
Well, again, you know, we need to start earning the trust back of the public. And the only way we're going to do that is by telling the truth. So we have, a good group of people. We have experts in different areas and different expertise that are helping us work through a lot of these issues. And guess what? We don't always agree, but we're having the conversations. We're listening to each other. We are not talking over, but we're listening. And at the end of the day, guess what? Sometimes we don't agree on all of the points, but the conversation that is going on is going to be very good, number one, for our taxpayers, and number two, for our society.
Well, and that, again, that was one of the points that Governor Rauner wanted to highlight, the transformation for, you know, this administration as far as our criminal justice system. The other area he talked about, and the one of the single most important things we do is educating our younger people. Tomorrow, you guys are meeting in the House to discuss the MAP grants. Is that what's on the docket?
I believe so, but we are not always privy as to what the speaker is going to call.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Well, that's a hard thing, too, you know, in Chicago, and I'm not sure what the situation is in Rockford in your area when it comes to the schools and the struggles that we're having. You know, CPS has recently had to lay off a lot of people last week. You know, the mayor wanted to highlight that they, you know, most of them were administrative, but many of them were in the special education department, which has a negative impact when it comes to making sure kids get the right services. So I don't know how, you know, this is an okay layoff. Are you having a similar situation in Rockford?
Not as of yet. Our community college, Rock Valley College, has laid off, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood, 36 people. I believe most of them were also administrative. But we're having the challenges on the community college side right now, not necessarily the Rockford Public Schools.
Well, I appreciate your honesty in the conversation. And we want to continue this. I know producer Craig and I were talking off the air about having you back regularly so we can touch base. And so people have an opportunity to hear from both sides of the aisle. You're one of the few Republicans, I believe, who stays up past 10 o'clock. I'm not saying for nothing. But
you might be right.
See, I tell everybody, I ask people, you know, Senator Connolly says he'll come on, and then he's like, oh, that's kind of late for me. I'm like, all right, see you later. So thank you so much. And how can people reach your office if they want to express their concerns?
They can reach us at 815-282-0083 and or my cell phone, 815-621-2196.
And to learn more about the representative, you can go to johncabello.org. That's John, CABELLO.org. And thank you so much. Get some rest. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, have a great night. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.